I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut. On this week's episode, reporter Rick Koster talks to New London artist Diane Barcello about her art and the recent social unrest that has gripped much of the country this summer.
You have said that you do not create new work or are not inspired to do new work by real-time events or things that happen directly or immediately. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to use a claw hammer to pry out an answer that you don't have, but things that are going on right now in the country and in the world with the social unrest, the administration, the virus, the isolation of us not being amongst one another and in the community, that's more extreme than anything that the three of us or all of us have probably been through in our lifetimes. Does that affect you in a way that might?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Just jump in here and say that. Yeah. First, how can it not affect me? Of course it affects me. Does it affect my studio practice? Quite honestly, my studio practice has been pretty quiet recently. Been spending a lot of time, as you know, in the garden. So I guess the way I want to address this, because I think it's really important. I think there's a lot of artists who, you know, we are all working on our art, whatever that is, and that's big, right? In whatever genre it is that we choose to express ourselves with, the content of that expression, right, the meaning of it, I would argue for most people, for most artists, I mean, for me certainly, and for many artists that I know, is not driven by current events. Right? It's not driven by the headlines, but it certainly, I would argue, reflects our humanity as we experience our life to the given point. So does it affect my motivation in the studio or my practice? Not in a direct way, but I think the reverse is true, right? That the stuff that I've been working on in my studio bumps up against and touches the issues that come up in the paper. Because I live in this society, because I come from an immigrant family, because I have been preoccupied for most of my studio practice with exploring the mysteries of my father's family that I have not met since I was 2 years old, right? So all of that stuff is in there. Is it responding in a direct way to the headlines? No, not at all. That's when you asked me before about sharing, you know, taking out the artwork and sort of having like a critique or whatever you want to call it with my husband, like how we talk about our art together. Like, no, because that's my stuff. Like, that's my investigation. And he has his life that's loaded with his mysteries that he's excavating. Do we talk about and share what we've got? Oh, of course we do. Really richly and deeply. But neither one of us interferes with that very personal creative moment that is about a personal self-understanding. I'm gonna bring up my husband again, but he's very fond of saying that specificity is the key to universality, right? So as we tell our individual stories about the things that affect our lives, the things we're curious about, the things that we that have impacted our lives in so many different ways, and certainly in the ways that we are seeing reflected in the larger society today, that personal story is, I would argue, what affects people most personally, right? Data is really great because we want facts, but a personal story that affects us, that we can relate to, is what helps us make difficult transformation, I think, right? And certainly my work in the studio, in that discovery, I'm pursuing some kind of transformation, right, for myself. And oh my God, I don't know how other people, how it affects other people in terms of transformation. And wouldn't that be great if it has some role to play in a personal transformation of having aha moments? So I think in that kind of more, maybe more complicated way, my studio practice does reflect ongoing issues in our society. In my case, you know, I'm more personally heated because it affects me, I think, touches me. Well, it all does, because I'm in a marriage with an African-American man, and I have African-American children and grandchildren, and it's one big happy mixture of all kinds of fun stuff. And I also come from this, you know, Portuguese and Cuban family, right? First and second generation, that for me, from my point of view, was a really joyous kind of fun exploration of multiple kinds of cultures and languages. And I grew up hearing Spanish and Portuguese pretty regularly. I happened to pick up on that and be quite fascinated by that, and chose to pursue that with my own research in my studio. And so I continue to be angry and heartbroken over the immigration policies in the United States for a long time now. But the stuff that's happening today isn't over. It's not settled. It's criminal. I don't make my artwork about that. But does my work bump up against those issues? Those issues aren't new. None of this stuff is new. So when I sent you some images of a piece that I did a number of years ago that is called Island Isla, which is I'm 5'1". That piece is 5 feet tall. So it comes up to about here on me, right? So, right, my eye—I can't see over the top of that table, right?
Right.
That table's filled with water, 90 miles of water. Hello, Havana, right? One stream of those letters is Spanish. The other stream of those letters is English. A table. Compartir. We sit at a table to talk, to share a meal. That table, that water table, the water across the channel, that 90 miles of separation, that is that a bridge? Those words look like a bridge. Is that a bridge? Is that a table? It's a separation. It's also a table for communication. How is that communication? One side's Spanish, one side's English. Those words, how do they resonate? Those words are not translations of each other. They're like a call and response. They're like a, do I understand your words? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. False cognates, right? I have embarazado, sounds like embarrassed. No, it means pregnant. There's all kinds of examples like that in Spanish and English, and that's the kind of wordplay that I'm using in that piece. And I think it speaks of something larger. And I'm just using this as an example because we're on the radio and you're not seeing the work, right? So a lot of my work plays with words in that way. Because for me, that's a rich fascination. It's a playground for me. And not just with Spanish, but with other words as well. So I hope that that kind of clarifies a little bit of how I proceed with my work and the dynamics between a studio practice, and how that predicts, reflects, processes, all of that, issues that are going on in society, not in a political way necessarily, although it could rub up against that, but I'm hoping in some kind of poetic way as well. In the email I wrote you, I talked about otherness, right? Which is, to my mind, that's a big part of our problems with isolating groups when we see them as other, right? This is, I mean, this is sort of common parlance at this point, but, you know, an identity being a way to include yourself in a group, right? I said that I didn't feel comfortable speaking as a artist of color because I don't think that most people would see me as an artist of color unless they knew my work or knew me. Because I haven't experienced some of the trauma that other Latinos have experienced. So I felt uncomfortable in that way, but you know what? I think about it, it's like, man, there must be a whole lot of people in my situation that are either not looking at it at all, like, you know, members of my own family, they don't have to really look at it. Or me, who's chosen to excavate that history, that heritage, there must be a lot of people out there that have a foot in two worlds and are, you know, maybe not being asked to think about it. So I'm grateful for the question because, my God, the wealth of conversations I've had in my own kitchen table with my husband and my daughter about how they, in my own family, have perceived me over the years and what that means to be Latina, and whether my daughter perceives me as Latina or quote unquote white is fascinating conversation. It's a conversation that I would never have had. And it's a conversation that I would bet a lot of Latinos in who have a foot in each world don't have the opportunity to unpack, because there's no end to that conversation. and it's a really good one. So thank you.